Thank you very much for coming. This week's Parsha is Parshas Korach. I thought, I know in years past we learned commentaries of Rav Soloveitchik, and takes the story of Korach literally, the commentaries of some of the Chassidic masters who try to justify Korach. I thought that tonight it would be worthwhile to try to go through some of the suggestions of the Rebbe of Ozhirov, some of the interpretations that he has on the story of Korach. So the very beginning of the parsha begins with the words Vayikach Korach and Korach took. So one question is, what's the connection between Korach and last week's parsha, Parsha Shlach? Parsha Shlach ends with the mitzvah of tzitzis, and Korach is a rebellion where Korach stirs up a revolt. He gets people to fight with Moshe, to attack Moshe and Aaron for their positions of leadership. So one question is, you know, what's the connection between Parsha Shlach and Parshas Korach? And another question is, why does it say Vayikach Korach, Korach took? What did he take? Normally there's an object here. It doesn't specify what it is that he took. So the Medrash says, in answer to both of these questions, that in Parsha Shlach, Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Jewish people that there's a mitzvah to apply, to put strings on the corners of the garments. As some Midrashim explain, it was the way of slaves in Egypt to have strings attached to their garments as a sign that they're slaves, sort of like a marker. So now Hashem tells us we should put strings on the corners of our garments to show that we're slaves of Hashem and not human slaves. And Moshe said that of these strings, there should also be a thread of tcheles. And famously, there's a whole argument how many threads should be tcheles, whether 2 out of the 8, 4 out of the 8, or 1 out of the 8, which is the most famous view. So Moshe, let's take that point of view. Moshe says, apply a thread of tcheles to one out of the 8 strings should be a tcheles thread. So Korach hears this. So Korach goes and he gets 250 leaders, and he puts on each one of them a talis where the whole garment is tcheles, not just one thread at the edge. The whole garment is tcheles. And they all stand in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is what they take. They take the talis. And they say to Moshe, Moshe, what's the halacha? Does a garment that's entirely tcheles need a couple of white strings and a blue string? So Moshe says, yeah. The fact that the whole thing is dyed tcheles doesn't exempt you. You still need to have white strings and blue strings. So Korach says, that doesn't make any sense. And he says the same way, this doesn't make sense. The whole Torah doesn't make sense. Whatever Moshe said doesn't make sense. Kala eda kulam kedoshim, we're all holy. You know, we don't need Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron to lead us. So this is the famous Rashi. So the Ozhirov Rebbe quotes his father, who tried to explain why did Korach, of all the different mitzvos, choose this last mitzvah, the mitzvah of talis and tcheles. So he suggested the following, that perhaps Korach was arguing person who has a very exalted neshama doesn't need to keep working. He has a very high neshama. He has a very great level. He doesn't need to keep working. You know, he's already at a great level. So that's the idea of a talis that's all tcheles. Tcheles, the Gemara tells us, is similar to the sea, the color. And the color of the sea is like the color of the sky. And the sky is like the color of Hashem's throne of glory. That's why there's a custom that the graves of tzaddikim and tzvat are painted blue, they're painted tcheles. These are soulful individuals. This is heavenly people. So Korach says, when you have a person who's a heavenly person, he doesn't need to keep working. He's a heavenly person. That's enough. He's fine where he is. So Korach says, I'm great. I'm a Levi. These leaders that I gathered around me, they're all great. And we don't need to keep working. And that's a very big mistake. Because the truth is, a Jew always should be toiling. Even if you have a very great and very powerful neshama, you always have to be working to get higher and higher. we believe that the effort is itself the blessing. I once saw a beautiful essay from my teacher, Mordechai Silber, on Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim is the book of Ramchal that's really the basic guide in terms of how to serve Hashem. The Hasidim say, the Mekubalim say, Ramchal wrote lots of books of Kabbalah, Klach Pischei Chachma, Adir Bamaram, all sorts of books about very deep topics. He summarized them all, he boiled them all down, made them into concentrate, and that's the Mesilas Yesharim. The Mesilas Yesharim is the conclusion. All the discussions of the Kabbalah, etc., it all comes down to the Mesilas Yesharim. So what's Mesilas Yesharim built on? It's built on a braisa in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Rav Pinchas ben Yair. Pinchas ben Yair said, being careful leads to wanting to be very perfect, and leads to purity, leads to holiness, leads to the revival of the dead. One thing leads to the next, 15 steps. So what's the idea of Mesilas Yesharim? All these steps, levels. A lot of people, when they hear that there's a lot to do for Hashem, they say, okay, you know what, that's too much for me. But the Mesilas Yesharim's whole point is that the more there is to do, the better. The more there is to do, the more Kedusha, the more attachment to Hashem, the more holiness. Our life in this world is to keep working and never to slack off, never to plateau, never to coast. The more to do, the more effort to expend, the more tasks and goals to try to reach, the better. And that was Korach's mistake. Korach says, when you have a talis, shekula tcheles, you have a talis that's all blue, you have a great neshama, a person who's already reached a high level, so now we stop, we can coast from here on in. Moshe says, no, it all needs tzitzis. We never stop. The person who has kula tcheles, he's all spiritual, he's holy, he's great, he's exalted. He should do even more work than everybody else. Because the work itself is the blessing. That's the great gift, to work for Hashem. They say in the name of Abimelech of Luzhensk, the Gemara says if a person's born circumcised, Hanolad Mahul, Tzarech Lahatef Imenu Dam Bris, they still have to make a little blood, they have to get out some drops of blood for the bris, make a little cut, and get the blood of the bris out. So that the idea is a nolad mol, a person who's born with a great neshama, is born on a very high level, is a very great soul. Still, tzarech lahatzef imenu dam bris, we have to take out a little bit of blood. In other words, he can't stop with that great soul, he can't coast. He has to take on to do more, and take on more effort, and more effort. Maybe that's what we learned a couple of weeks ago, Parshas Ba'aloscha. Torah describes the menorah. It says, "V'zeh ma'aseh menorah," and this is how the menorah was made: miksha zahav, beaten out of a block of gold, ad yirecha, from its base, ad pircha, to its flower, mikshahi. It was beaten out, beaten out. So why repeat twice, miksha zahav, and again, ad pircha mikshahi? So maybe the idea is, as Rashi says, that there was a block of gold. And they came with a hammer and an anvil, and they started beating and beating and beating and pushing out of it the very shape, not to attach something, but to beat out the shape. So that's the idea. You have to hit and hit again and hit again to push it into the shape of the menorah. And that's the idea of effort. Put in effort and more effort and more effort. And that's the nature of the Jewish people, and especially that's the menorah, because the menorah is where there are neros, there are candles. The pasuk says, Ner Hashem, Nishmas Adam, the candle of God is the soul of a Jew. The soul of a Jew is a candle. So the candles are made by being miksha, beaten out. A lot of effort, and then some more effort, and some more effort. So the Torah is telling us that if we want to reach a holy Jewish neshama, we want to build a holy Jewish personality, we have to hit it again, put in effort, and then some more effort, and then some more effort, miksha, to hit it again and again until we pull out the kedusha that we're supposed to pull out. And so maybe we can also connect the idea of the menorah to the knowledge of Torah and the learning of Torah. We find that the Gemara says in Bava Basra, the menorah was in the south, And that's a symbol that when a person davens, if he tilts a little bit to the south, basically facing east, but he tilts a little bit to the south, he's asking for wisdom. He's asking for that which the menorah represents. The north is the symbol of wealth. That's where the shulchan is. But the south is the symbol of wisdom, because that's where the menorah is. The menorah produces light. The Torah says, Vayar Elokim Esaor Ki Tov. Hashem saw the light, and he calls it Tov. He calls it good. Now, Tov is a reference to Torah. Gemara says in Brachos, Ein Tov Elo Torah. The light is Torah. We say to God, illuminate our eyes, light us up. We should understand the Torah. So the Torah is the or, the light which is good. In fact, ha-or in gematria equals 211, which is the same, 212. Which, if you add the word itself, would be a total of 213. And so to the word bitorah equals 213. Sitting in his chair, on a Shabbos afternoon, he was dozing, and suddenly he was startled. He said, okay. And he went right to the table, and he opened up the Gemara. So Rabbi Feuerstein said to him, Rabbi, what happened? So he said, I was dozing, and I saw my father. And my father said, Beryl, you could do better. So I have to work on the sukkah some more. So he opened up the Gemara and he sat there for 10 hours working on the sukkah. And he came back to the yeshiva the next week. He said, we have a new approach. But that's the way to learn Torah. Toil, more toil, and more toil. Miksha, to beat it out. So that was Korach's mistake. Korach says, you know, there's certain people, they're great people, they've reached a great level, or they have great souls. They don't need to keep working. And the answer is that no. Even a talis, a kula tcheles, a talis that's all tcheles, a great soul, not an excuse to slack off. No, it's time for more effort. That's what Mesilas Yesharim is all about. There's so many levels. There's Zehirus, there's Rizus, there's Precious, there's Nekiyus, there's Tahara, there's Kedusha, there's Ruach HaKodesh. Levels after levels. We can keep going. It's a lot to do. And we should never slack off. We should always be happy to invest the effort and to do and to work and to try to reach higher and higher. Amen. Korach says, Kol Eida Kulam Kedoshim. All the community is holy. Ubesocham Hashem. Hashem is in their midst. So the Gemara, the Medrash says, Korach is saying, everybody heard, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Everybody heard God say, I am God, your Lord. So Korach is saying, everybody's reached a very high level. Everyone's on a very special state. They're all very, very exalted. They don't need to keep working anymore. So maybe that's another idea in Vayikach Korach. Lakach atzmo letzad echad. Rashi says he took himself to one side. In other words, he said, I've already gotten to the level of one side, of only a side of Tov. I only have a Yetzer Tov. I don't have to work on my Yetzer Hara anymore. But that's the mistake. The mistake is that you're never at a point where we should stop working. The Torah says, Hachatayim ha'ela b'nafshosam. These people were sinning with their souls. So maybe another way to read it is, they're sinning because of their souls. They say, we have great souls, we don't have to work. That's their sin. I have a great soul already. But that's the mistake. A person always has to be working. Normally Melech says in Parshas Vayishlach, Gemara says in Masechet Yuma, Ukvar Amar Ana Hashem V'nishma Kolo. And he already said, please God, and his voice was heard. So normally Melech says, Man arich tzarich adam litzok. A person has to put in a long time to be screaming, Ana Hashem, please God, Azraini, help me. She'ezka la'avdacha be'emes. That I should merit to truly work for you. And then, v'nishma kolo. Then your voice will be heard. Avalo b'yam mu'at. You just put a few days into screaming Ana Hashem, it's not going to work. It has to be Zman Aruch, a long time of screaming Ana Hashem, putting in a lot of effort. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Haskein Atzma Chalum Mol Torah. A
prepare yourself to study Torah. She'eina Yerusha Lecha. It's not an inheritance. What do you mean it's not an inheritance? Just tell us. Learn Torah. But the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Kol Shehu Talmud Chacham, if a person is a Torah scholar, and his son is a Torah scholar, and his grandson is a Torah scholar, then Torah won't leave his children. So you'll say, one second, that means that in Torah you can inherit Torah. So that's what the Mishnah says. Even a person who thinks he's going to inherit Torah, nevertheless, he has to put in the effort of Haskein Atzmacha Lilmo Torah. Because it's true, Torah is inherited, but the only way the inheritance works is if we put in the effort in order to acquire it. Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Torah Moshe commanded to us, Morasha kihilas Yaakov. It's an inheritance to the entire community of Yaakov. It's an inheritance. But it was also commanded. We have to put in the effort. And Korach, perhaps his sin, was he wanted to take a break. No more effort. I'm already a holy person. And that's what's being rejected. That's one idea. The Be'er Moshe says another idea, which we've discussed many years. The Medrash says, the full Medrash is, what did Korach do? Korach grabbed the talus that was all blue. He said, Moshe, does this talus need strings? Does it need tzitzis? Moshe says, yes, it needs tzitzis. So Korach says, I don't understand. If one string of tchelas is enough to exempt the garment, the whole garment isn't enough. Moshe says, no, it still needs tzitzis. Then Korach says, if I have a house filled with Sifrei Torah, does the room that's filled with Sifrei Torah need a mezuzah? He said, yeah, it needs a mezuzah. He said, I understand, the Torah itself is, you know, paragraphs after paragraphs of Torah. It's still going to need one single paragraph? And Moshe says, yes, it's still going to need a single paragraph. So apparently, the mistake of Korach is that Korach thinks that the idea of tzitzis is some blue-dyed wool. The idea of mezuzah is a little piece of Torah. So he says, if I have lots of Torah in the room, I don't need a mezuzah. If I have lots of blue-dyed wool, the whole garment is tchelas, I don't need strings. So where's his mistake? Hashem's not interested in the blue. Hashem's not interested in the parsha. Hashem is interested in us listening to him. And the most important piece is to accept Hashem and to listen to him. And Korach, you know, he has his own interpretation. And then he says, okay, this is what makes sense to me. That's got to be the way it works. But that's not the way it works. The way it works is that when we listen to Hashem and we fulfill the will of Hashem, that's when we have a bracha. We learned in Daf Yomi this week, Gemara relates about the concept of a dying man, the mitzvah to listen to his last wishes. So what's the source that matna shivmira, that a gift of a dying man takes effect? So the Gemara suggests maybe it's from an extra word in the pasuk about the daughter inheriting. The Torah says, v'ha'avar temes nachla solubito. They didn't have to say that. It could have just said, give the inheritance to his daughter. So maybe it's to say that there is another acquisition similar to inheritance, just like inheritance doesn't require an act of acquisition. So too, command of a dying man transfers ownership even without a formal act of acquisition. Now the Gemara has another possible source. Maybe it's from the Navi. The Navi relates that when David's son, Avshalom, rebelled, so there was a very brilliant counselor of King David, Achitophel, who advised David, who advised Avshalom in his rebellion, and he told Avshalom to go and pursue David that night, right when there was an advantage before David could organize. And Avshalom didn't listen. And because Avshalom didn't listen, Achitophel gets so upset, he goes home and he hangs himself. So right before he hangs himself, the pasuk says, Vayitzaves beiso, he commanded his household. So Gemara says that means he gave away his possessions with commands, but without a formal act of acquisition, just with commands. So Gemara, once it mentions Achitophel, it says, but what else did he tell his children besides giving away the assets? So it says Achitophel gave his children three, you know, pieces of wisdom. One, stay away from fights. Harchik min ha-machlokes. Two, Al Tibridu B'malchus Beis David, don't rebel against the Davidic kings. It didn't work out. We're rebelling against David. And three, Yom Atzeres Barur, if Shavuos day is clear without any clouds, that's a sign that it's going to be a good year with good winds and good climate and good rain. And Ziruchitim, you should plant wheat that year. So why does he say these three things right before he dies? So there's a letter of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, in Igros Kodesh. I think it's letter 490. So Lubavitcher Rebbe suggested the following explanation. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that there are three crowns. Keser Kahuna, the crown of priesthood. Keser Malchus, the crown of royalty. And Keser Torah, the crown of knowing a lot of Torah. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe points out that there are two pieces, really, in everything. There's wisdom, there's intellect. And then there is Yirat Shamayim, fear of heaven, accepting God's will. Now, there's some people that Chachmaso Kodemes Liyirasa. They begin with wisdom. They think, they explore, they understand, they figure out. And they say, okay, now that I understand so much, the next step is to do. Okay, now I have to do. Now I accept God's commands. So through the wisdom, they get to the practice. But then there are other people that go the other way. They start with the practice, and that leads them to the wisdom. They start with a commitment. I'm doing whatever God wants. I don't know what it is. Okay, now let me study and find out what does God want. They start with a commitment with accepting the yoke of heaven, and through accepting the yoke of heaven, they then move from the acceptance to the actual study. But it starts with a commitment. It starts with doing. Yirasa kodemes l'chachmasa. His fear of God, his religious passion, comes before his wisdom and understanding. It's what inspires him to study and to understand. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe said Achitofel was a brilliant man. And his whole life, he started to figure things out, and only after he figured it out would he then make a commitment. But that didn't work. Now it's all, this whole world is collapsing on him. So he tells his children, I want you to pursue the crowns of life, the crown of royalty, the crown of kahuna, the crown of Torah, but don't do it the way I did it, with wisdom and understanding and then fulfilling, but do it the right way, with a commitment beyond understanding. And once there's a commitment beyond understanding, then you go out to learn and to understand. But first you start with the commitment. So that's the idea. He says, number one, harchik min ha-machloka, stay away from a fight. So what's he referring to? He's referring to Korach. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, the paradigmatic machlokas, fight, she'en l'shem shamayim, that's not for the sake of heaven, is Korach v'Adasa, Korach and his group. That's the ultimate, they're the big fighters. In fact, according to the Chafetz Chaim, in his introduction to his book, Shmir Salasha on Chafetz Chaim, he says that this pasuk, Losia Kekorach Va'adaso, is an obligation not to be disputatious, not to be immersed in fights and making fights and belligerent and pugnacious and, you know, difficult. Torah has a mitzvah, Losia Kekorach Va'adaso, don't be like Korach. So Korach was the ultimate example of a machlokas, of a fight, she'en l'shem shamayim, not for the sake of heaven. It was all selfish for Korach's own purposes. Now what was Korach fighting about? He was fighting about kahuna. He's fighting about the crown of kahuna. He says, why should Aaron be the Kohen Gadol? I want to be the Kohen Gadol. Now Korach made lots of arguments. According to the Ari HaKadosh, we learned about this in earlier years, the phrase, tzadik katamar yifrach, the tzaddik will blossom like the date tree. The final letters spell out Korach. Korach had lots of arguments. He said, listen, I'm a Levi. Aaron's a Kohen. Leviim are greater than the Kohanim. The Leviim were the ones who fought against the people who made the golden calf. Aaron made the golden calf. You know, why should Aaron have the privilege of serving God in the Mishkan? We who were pure were the ones who should be serving God in the Mishkan. Lots of arguments. Very compelling arguments. But the idea of not being with Korach is that the crowd of kahuna is not going to go with the one who has the most compelling argument. It doesn't follow to the person who's most makes the most sense that he get it. It doesn't work with intellect and then commitment. It's the opposite. It's commitment and then intellect. First, we surrender to God. God's going to choose whomever he's going to choose. It may not make sense to me why he chooses Aaron over a Levi. Once I've accepted that God will choose whomever he will choose, then already I can start exploring and investigating. So the idea of that Achitofel says, don't stay away from fights. Harchik min ha-machlokes, don't be part of a fight. He's saying, stay away from the Korach groups. Don't follow them. They make the most compelling of cases. But when you're pursuing the position of Kohen, of service, the crown of service, it starts with commitment and then intellect. Not intellect and then commitment. And at first you start with the commitment, whatever Hashem chooses. The Kohen, then, okay, now let's try to understand as much as we can understand. And the Lubavitch Rebbe suggests that's the case with the other commands that Achitofel gives. Achitofel says, you know, don't fight with Malchus Beis David. So again, what crown is that referring to? The crown of royalty. Kesar Malchus. Malchus Beis David is the royal crown of Malchus Beis David. And what does he say? He says, don't fight with Malchus Beis David. What's the idea of not fighting with Malchus Beis David? So the idea of not fighting the appointment and the leadership of David HaMelech is that we have to realize that it's up to Hashem who's going to be king. Because David HaMelech, it doesn't make sense. Shaul was the first person appointed as king. Shaul only made one mistake. He didn't kill Agag. One mistake. Yet he loses the position. David made two mistakes. David, number one, had the whole story with Bathsheba. He takes a married woman, somewhat married woman. He sleeps with her. Then when his attempts to cover up the crime don't work out, he sends her husband to his death. It's a terrible mistake. And at the end of his life, David goes and he tells Yoav to count all the Jews, which is again a mistake. We're not allowed to count Jews directly. You're supposed to count indirectly with the half shekel. He doesn't do it that way. So the Gemara says that David b'shtayim v'olsalo. David had two mistakes, and yet he gets forgiven. Shaul ba'achas v'lo olsalo. Shaul had only one mistake, and yet he's not forgiven. So you'll say 1 second. So David is not on the same level as Shaul. It makes no sense. Shaul only had one mistake. Shaul should be the one who is the lasting dynasty. But yet David is the lasting dynasty. Because when you think about David and you say, I'm not going to fight David, I'm going to accept David, I'm not going to go advocate for Shaul. What you're saying is, I'm accepting that God has a plan beyond my understanding. And in pursuit of Kesar Malchus, the crown of royalty, again, we begin with a commitment beyond our understanding. And only when there's a commitment beyond our understanding do we then go on to use our intellect and to try to understand and comprehend and achieve as much as we can. And finally, the third command that Achitofel gives to his children, and he says, if Shavuos is a clear day, then plant wheat. So what does that mean? Somehow it's connecting wheat and success in wheat with the holiday of Shavuos. So the Lubavitch Rebbe points out that in the Gemara, the term a master of wheat is a reference to someone who knows a lot of Torah and a lot of law. The Gemara has a discussion in Masechta Brachos. What's better, Sinai or Oker Haran? Is it better to have someone who has tremendous grasp and breadth and knows lots and lots and lots of facts? Or is it better to have someone who's very deeply insightful and he thinks deeply and he comprehends deeply and he grinds up the mountains? So what's better, the Sinai or the Oker Haran? So the Gemara says, well, everybody needs the Sinai. Hakol tzrichen lamare chiti. Everybody needs the person who has the wheat. The owner of the wheat is the one who knows lots of laws. So the truth is, when you talk about Torah, there was Torah even before Sinai. Even before Sinai, there was Torah. We find that the Gemara, the Medrash tells us that Yaakov, vayichanes pnei ha'ir, he camped by the city. Yaakov set up a tchum, he put up a sign. He said, you can't walk past here on Shabbos. That's a big section of tractate Erevin. Tchumei Shabbos, and Yaakov already knew that. We find that the pasuk says about Avram Avinu, Ki Yadativ, Hashem says, I love him, Lamana Sheyetzaves, Banaves, Beso Achrov, because he commands his children and his household after him. V'shamru Derech Hashem, they're going to protect the way of God, Lasos Tzedakah U'Mishpat, to do justice and charity. That means Avram Avinu is learning all the laws of justice, of nezikin, of damages, all the laws of what's fair and tzedakah, the laws of charity. Avram knew Torah. So Avram knew Torah. Yaakov Avinu knew Torah. There's a medrash that says that when Moshe was a prince in Paro's household, so he told Paro, you're going to work the Jews constantly. They're going to not produce any more for you. You have to give them a day off. And they should, you know, refresh themselves on this day. So he got Paro to give them off the seventh day, to give them Shabbos. And they had scrolls that they had, you know, traditions, and they used to study Torah on Shabbos. That's why when Moshe comes and he tells Paro to let the Jews go, and Paro gets so offended, he says, V'al yishu b'divrei shaker. They shouldn't keep talking about words of falsehood. Maybe they were studying Torah. So what was added at Har Sinai? We had Torah before Har Sinai. What was added at Har Sinai? What was added at Har Sinai was that it was Nasa and then Nishma. We said, we will do, and then we'll find out what to do. What was added at Har Sinai was a commitment before intellectual knowledge. We'll do, and then we'll find out what to do. So that's what Achitofel says. If you want to succeed in Keser Torah, if you want to succeed in the crown of Torah, you want to have good wheat, well, you have to connect. Wheat is knowledge of Torah. Marichiti, the Sinai. If you want to have good knowledge of Torah, you want to have successful wheat harvests, you have to go look to Shavuos. You have to link your week to Shavuos. When we stood at our Sinai and we said Nasa v'Nishma, you have to link it to the commitment that comes before the knowledge. And a commitment that comes before the knowledge is a commitment that will succeed. So that according to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, this theme that so many talk about, Korach's mistake was like Achitofel's mistake before his death, where they, you know, it had to make sense. If it makes sense to me, to my understanding, then I'm doing it. But the commitment to just doing the will of God that doesn't make sense to us, that they weren't running to do. And that was the need to reject Korach and to say, no, we should fulfill the will of God, even when it doesn't make sense to us. We should do whatever God tells us to do. And if we start that way, we're going to do whatever God tells us to do. And then once we have the commitment, then we're going to try to understand whatever it is we can understand. That's the more correct way of succeeding in Torah and in all levels of achievement. There's another medrash. The medrash says like this. Ein vayikach el lashon pliga. Verse begins with vayikach korach. Korach took. That means Korach separated, he divided. Shalibo lakho, his heart took him. Kenyan Shanamar, as the pasuk says in Iyov, Ma yikhacha libecha, what will your heart take of you? Husha Moshe Amar lahem, this is what Moshe tells them, Hama'at mikem ki yivdilu lokei Yisrael eschem mikol adas Yisrael, is it not enough for you, is it too small for you that God has separated you from the entire community of Israel? Ubetanchuma osifu eshem shecha pasuk, the Tanchuma adds the rest of that pasuk, "My chagel of becha, what is your heart going to take you? Uma yirazmun einecha, and why do your eyes disappoint you?" So, what is this business that Korach, his heart took him, and his heart disappointed him? So, his eyes disappointed him? What's the idea of his eyes disappointing him? So, the Chassidim, the Ber Moshe, suggests the following. The Kuznetzer Magid, who is one of the great Hasidic Rebbes in Poland, Odes Yisrael, he teaches, why did Hashem give us two eyes? Says the Avodas Yisrael, the Kuzhan Tzur Magid, Hashem gave us two eyes for the following reasons. One eye is to look at Godless Habore. You have to be looking at the greatness of the Almighty. The other eye is to look at shiflus atzmo, at our own lowliness. So one eye is to think, look at the world, how many planets are there, how many stars, how many galaxies, how many light years of space. That's just the physical world. Above that, even more, is the angels. Above the angels are spiritual worlds and concepts and complexity. And God is everywhere and controlling everything and all-powerful. And with all of this power, He cares for my tefillah, He cares for my Torah, He loves a mitzvah that I do. It's enormously gratifying to think about the greatness of Hashem and such a great and almighty being. Treasures, the mitzvahs that I do. That's one level. To have an eye thinking about the enormity of the Almighty and that the enormity of the Almighty cares about my mitzvahs. That's unbelievable. But on the other hand, if we only think about that, a person can get a little bit arrogant. I'm so special. God cares about me. Doesn't care about the wolves, but He cares about me. So then you have to have a second eye. Look, I'm this human being, and that I have so many sins and averos and weaknesses and failures. And I have to have a lowly spirit. And when I have both eyes, one eye thinking about the greatness of Hashem, and another eye thinking about my own lowliness, together I can serve Hashem in the right way. A person who only thinks about the greatness of Hashem and how special he is to Hashem, he might become arrogant. Oh, look at me, I daven, I learn, I'm amazing. Someone who only looks at his lowliness, he might become depressed. He might say, well, Hashem's not going to listen to my tefillos, I have so many sins. I can't accomplish anything. Why should I daven? It's a waste. Hashem hates both of those. Hashem wants us to have two eyes, to look at the greatness of Hashem and to realize how special our mitzvahs are, and to look at our own weaknesses and lowliness and to humble ourselves. Says the Kuznetzer Magid, maybe that's pshat in the Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara says if a person's blind in one eye, he's exempt from the mitzvah of Re'iyas Panim Ba'azara, going up to the Beis HaMikdash and appearing there with a Karban Olas Re'iyah. So why? Because it's not enough to have one eye. One eye is either just looking at the greatness of Hashem and how special His service is, or one eye is just looking at his own weakness. Hashem doesn't like that. Hashem wants both. On the one hand, that He loves what we do, and on the other hand, to have a tremendous sense of awe because of our misdeeds. So maybe that's what's going on. Vayikach, says the Medrash, ain vayikach ela lashon pliga. He took, he divided. In other words, his heart divided. He only took one perspective. Instead of having both perspectives, he only had one perspective. What was his perspective? How special I am. Look at how great I am. I'm a Levi, I get to carry the Aron. Hashem cares about me. I'm amazing, I'm so special. So that's what the Medrash says, the Pasuk in Iyov. Ma'yikchacha libecha. What is this that your heart is taking you? You should be taking your heart, not that your heart should be taking you. U'mayir zemunei necha. And look at what your eyes hint to. You have two eyes. One eye to think about how special you are, that Hashem cares for your mitzvos. But another eye to think about how humble you have to be because of all of your averos. That's what Moshe says. Hama'at mikem, is it not a small thing? In other words, Moshe is telling them, Hama'at mikem, you have to make yourselves small. You have to humble yourselves. You have to think about your lowliness. You can't just think about, oh, how great you are. The Rebbe, Reb Mordechai of Chernobyl, said on this phrase that Moshe tells Korach, Hama'at mikem, Unkla says, Hazi'ir lachon. Zi'ir is small. He's saying, Hazi'ir lachon. Do you have smallness? In other words, you can't be saying the truth if you're arrogant. The truth is found with people who are humble. The arrogant person is a person who's locked into falsehood. Where's your lowliness? Where's your smallness? Where's your humility? Ubikashtem kam kahuna. and you also want to be Kohanim, if you don't have the attribute of truth, you want to be Kohanim. In other words, if you don't have the eye that's examining all of your own weaknesses, how could you be speaking truthfully? You just see your good, that God loves you? You have to have both eyes. Maybe that's also pshat what the Yismach Moshe says. The Medrash says, Korach shepikeachaya mara l'shtus zu. Korach, who was so smart, why did he, you know, see this silliness, this insanity? So the Medrash says, Eino hitaso, his eye fooled him. He saw that in the future he's going to have a descendant, Shmuel. And, you know, Moshe v'Aaron b'chonav u'Shmuel b'korei Shmo. Moshe and Aaron are just priests, but Shmuel calls God's name. He said, I must be greater than Moshe and Aaron. So it's interesting. It doesn't say, Einav, his eyes fooled him. It says, Eino, his eye fooled him. So the Yismach Moshe says, his eye fooled him. He was looking to the greatness of God with one eye, but he never saw his own lowliness. That's why, as Rabbi Elimelech of Luzhensk says this, also what the Avodas Yisrael said, Suma ba'achas me'enav, if a person's blind in one eye, he's patrim in ar'iyah, he's exempt from ar'iyah, he's exempt from seeing. What does it mean? If a person only sees one eye, he sees the greatness of Hashem and how great he is because Hashem cares for him, and he doesn't see his own lowliness, patrim in ar'iyah, he's better off not seeing. You're better off not to see that. Because kol tovos Hashem gvalev. Hashem finds it abominable. A person who's arrogant. That's why eino hitaso. His single eye fooled him. His eye of his own self-esteem fooled him. He didn't have the second eye to see his own lowliness and to see how he should be so humble. That's perhaps what the Medrash says. Korach, who was wise, why did he do such a shtus? Such an insanity. So, why is Korach's behavior called a shtus, an insanity? It's a rishus, it's a wickedness. But in light of what we're saying, it's that Korach's root was that he was too arrogant. And the Sfarim of the Tzadikim explain, when a wise person is asked, what is arrogance? He says, it's a state of insanity, where the person doesn't even know that he's insane. But that's what arrogance is, to be completely insane. And it's really a pasuk. The pasuk says in Mishlei, b'fi evil, in the mouth of the fool, choter ga'ava, he seeks out his arrogance. Arrogance is just foolishness. So that's what the question in the Medrash is. Korach is so wise, so he should have been a humble person. Why did he become arrogant? So again, the answer is Eino hitaso, his single eye, because he wasn't looking at his own weaknesses. He was just looking at the greatness of God and how God is taking care of him. So he was only arrogant. Maybe that's why the pasuk says in Koheles, Hachacham, the wise man, Einav birosho, his eyes are in his head. He has two eyes. In other words, he thinks both about the greatness of Hashem and his own importance, and he thinks about his own weaknesses. But then the pasuk continues, Haksil, the fool, Bachoshech Holech, he goes in the darkness. Because a fool, he might see the greatness of God and the importance of his good deeds. But he's walking in darkness because he's not thinking about his own flaws. So he's arrogant. And as an arrogant person, he's stuck in a tremendous amount of darkness. So that's the question.
No, I'm just saying, he was not kanai kanaut. It's what he did is like kina, no?
There was jealousy also, for sure. Yes, certainly kina. Certainly jealousy, but we're seeing that a lot of what happened here was his tremendous arrogance. That he didn't have the humility to realize that he has lots of flaws. The Gemara says in Sota, the Pasuk says in Iyov, v'hachachma, in wisdom, me'ayin timatze. You'll find it from nothing. In other words, divrei Torah miskainen, divrei Torah last, v'misha mesim atzmo k'misha eino, in a person who makes himself like he's nothing. So if you want to know if you have wisdom, if you're successful, You have to make yourself like someone who's nothing. You have to have the humility. Maybe that's another pshat in the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara says in Sota, why is she called a Sota, the strayer? It's from the word shtus, insanity. Ein adam over aveira, elim kein nichnas bo ruach shtus. A person doesn't do a sin unless he has a spirit of insanity. Maybe the insanity is the insanity of gaiva, of arrogance. Because if a person's really humble, so then he knows there's nothing to me, it's only Hashem. How could I go against Hashem? He has the presence of Hashem with him. And in fact, the Ari HaKadosh says that the word anava, humility, equals in Gematria Samael, the angel of evil. Because if you have anava, if you have humility, the angel of evil has no ability to rule over you. So that's perhaps the idea, that you're wise if you're humble. If I'm arrogant, I'm a fool. And Korach, his big mistake was Eino Hitaso. He had one eye. He just thought about how great he was, how special his service is, how great Hashem is. He didn't acknowledge his flaws and his sins. And as a result, he didn't have the humility and he ended up making terrible, terrible mistakes. Again, going back to the first Pasuk, the Pasuk says, Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahas ben Levi. And Korach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kahas, the son of Levi, took. So, once it's going up, there's something missing. It should have said ben Yaakov. So Rashi says back in Parshas Vayechi that when Yaakov gave the bracha to Levi, and he said, to Shimon and Levi, he said, B'sodam al tavo nafshi b'kahalam, in their gathering, al techad kvodi, my soul should not be identified. That's a reference to the Korach group. But Rashi asked, don't mention my name in the story of Korach. I don't want to be there when Korach does his thing. So what is this, how does Yaakov gain by his name not being mentioned in the fight of Korach? The Or HaChaim says an amazing thing. Sometimes a person sins and we cause damage to our soul. Sometimes the sin is so deep it causes damage to the root of our soul. Had Yaakov been named here, it would mean that even the root of Korach, that is Yaakov, would have been damaged. The fact that Yaakov is not named is that that point, that deep, deep root in Korach, the Yaakov piece in Korach, the sin didn't reach there. And the sin didn't damage there. And so since at the deep point, the root is still strong, there's hope. There's hope for Korach, and there's hope for him to come back. That's why we have about Korach, the Pasuk, Hashem, Memesu Mechaya, Hashem puts to death and brings back to life. Morid Sha'ol, he brings down to Gehenim, to the depths, by Yo'al, and he brought it back up. Now it should have said, Meimisu Mechayeh, he puts to death and he gives to life. Morid Sha'ol, he brings down to Sha'ol, Uma'aleh, and he lifts up, all in the present tense. By Yo'al is in the past tense, and he did lift up. What do you mean, and he did lift up? The answer is that he already lifted up. Before he lowered Korach, he already lifted up. Because before Korach went down, he had already granted Yaakov's request that Korach not be able to damage the Yaakov point. And so since the Yaakov point wasn't damaged, so there was a point here that was pure, and from that point, he was able to be lifted up and to be able to be brought back to Kedusha, to good. So that's an idea that we have from the Or HaChaim, that there was a deep inner point of Yaakov, and even in Korach, as much as bad as he was, there was a deep inner point that was good, and because that deep inner point was good, ultimately Korach is fixed. We find in Tehillim, Bnei Korach, the children of Korach, composed beautiful songs of Tehillim. Again, as I mentioned, Shmuel HaNavi is a descendant of Korach. So ultimately, Korach does get fixed within the Jewish people. Now there are those points that try to claim that there's a way to justify Korach, you know, maybe to judge Korach lekaf schus, on the side of merit. Korach says, Ki chala eda kulam kedosh. The whole community is holy. Uvesocham Hashem. And Hashem is in their midst. So, what is Korach trying to say? Everybody's holy. So the Arizal explains that perhaps the idea is that Korach was a very messianic person. He was very connected to the idea of Mashiach and the coming of Mashiach. And he was so connected to the coming of Mashiach that he wanted to act now as if Mashiach is already here in order to speed the actual arrival and appearance of Mashiach. The Navi Yirmiyahu said that when Mashiach will come, v'lo yilamdu od ish es re'ehu, a man will no longer teach his friend, v'ish es achiv le'mor du'u es Hashem, nor will one man tell his friend, here, know God, ki kulam yedu osi, for they will all know me, v'miktanam v'ad gdolam, from their small person until their biggest person. When Mashiach will come, there won't be a need for any leader. We'll all know Hashem from within ourselves. And that's what Korach is arguing. He said, Kol Eda Kulam Kedoshim, everybody's holy. And from within the Neshama already, Jews don't need teachers. They can learn from within themselves. And that was Korach's mistake, because unfortunately we haven't yet arrived at the time of Mashiach. And we can't try to hasten the time before the time actually arrives. I mean, these are some ideas about